You are listening to KHOI FM 89.1, Story City, Ames, community radio for the heart of Iowa. My name is Teresa Opheim of Practical Farmers of Iowa, and I love the Donna Lana Show.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. And hello to you, the listener. I'm your host today, Jim Werbel. I have different themes in today's show. First, we have Joe Collins and Mary Longston talking about a series of job search workshops at the Ames Public Library. As you are beginning to hear more, we're starting our pledge drive this Friday on November 13th. We are having a world-class speaker at the studio on Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. I plan on being there for it, and we'll be introducing that speaker today in today's show. Finally, we have Leanne Harder, who comes back to the show to discuss upcoming events in Story County. I hope you enjoy the show. To start the show, I have Mary Logsdon with Adult Services from the Ames Public Library and Joe Collins from Iowa Works to discuss some job search workshops that are happening at the Ames Public Library. The resume workshop has already happened on November 6th, but Joe said you can still attend the workshops for job search and interviewing, which should be very good for you to hear, and he will also help you with your resumes if you attend the afternoon workshops. You'll learn more about these as you listen to the interview. Joe Collins and Mary Longston to the show. Joe is a training facilitator with Iowa Works, who will explain to us what that is, and Mary Longston works for the Ames Public Library. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Joe, I hear that you're going to do some workforce readiness training at the Ames Public Library in the month of November. We'll talk about those dates in just a little bit. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
So, and you work with Iowa Works. Explain what Iowa Works is to the listener.
Okay. So Iowa Works is actually a division of Iowa Workforce Development. The center that we operate out of is in the East Village of Des Moines, 430 East Grand, and we're not technically called at that center Iowa Workforce Development because we're meant to be a one-stop shop. So that includes many other organizations in addition to IWD. So Job Corps, the American Indian Council, people that work with veterans, people that work with the disabled. We've got DMAC representing quite a few different areas of that center. So that's what Iowa Works kind of encompasses
there. And the purpose of the center is to help people do what?
Find jobs, look for better jobs. Just it's kind of a holistic 360-degree view for looking for work.
From what I can see from the workshops, it looks like you focus on some skill development. What types of skills do you focus on?
Yeah, we have close to 20 different workshops. I mean, we've got kind of the bread and butter is like the resumes, the interviewing, and so forth. But we also do other classes on dealing with different personalities, social media, conflict resolution, a number of different offerings that are all completely free to anyone and everyone in the community.
You've invited him to the Ames Public Library, right, Mary?
Yes, absolutely. And what's so interesting, the last sentence that he said sounds like the mission statement for the Ames Public Library, free and open to everyone in the community. So, yes, we've invited the Iowa Workforce Development folks, Iowa Work Central, to Ames to work with us.
I thought the library was really just all about books and basically information technology.
Well, I would suggest that you should come over and visit us and see for yourself that it's about quite a bit more. We are really just so very fortunate in this community to have a huge amount of space for books and movies and music and puppets and all kinds of wonderful things for people to check out and to enjoy. And that's still a very critical part of our mission. But, yeah, the local Ames Public Library is about so much more than being a place to house materials.
Tell me about some of the other services that you're doing other than doing workshops to help people land better jobs.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking, because in November, actually, we have got a very busy slate of programming happening at Ames Public Library, and I oversee the adult programs for anyone who's pretty much not a child. So we have got programming in November that's designed to help folks make some smart choices about their health care. You know, we have a program about the health care marketplace that's going to
That's an important decision for lots of people.
Absolutely. We are going to be beginning a cinema series, independent films, on Wednesday evenings to bring some movies to folks in Ames that aren't coming to Ames because maybe they're not blockbuster films. And so we have films. We have informational programs. We have a conversation in English group that meets weekly. So we have a crochet and knitting group that meets. So we have hobby groups.
There's a poetry group that I'm in that meets there too. So, so there's a lot of services. People need to check out the Ames Public Library website and find out all the extra things that are going on there. Want to quickly give us that website?
Yeah, amespubliclibrary.org.
Thank you. Tell me, Joe, tell us what you're planning on doing at Ames with the workshops that you're doing on the dates. Give us the dates and the workshops.
Yep. So in November, we've decided to offer workshops from 10 to noon and then take a break for lunch, come back from 1 to 3 on the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th. So those are three Fridays in a row. Yep. And in the morning for that, we have like a presentation, like a lecture series for that first 2 hours. On the 6th, we're doing resumes, kind of 101. On the 13th, we're doing how to apply for jobs online, kind of ins and outs. And then on the 20th is the interviewing tips and tricks.
Oh, I'd like to get some ideas about interviewing tips and tricks. What are some of your favorite? let's foreshadow some of the things that you're going to tell them to see if they're interested in coming.
Okay. One of my best tips is when you answer a question in an interview, you should kind of wrap it all up in a nice little bow. Don't just give them an answer. Sort of tell a story for why you're telling them that. And what I kind of liken it to is when you ask like your son or daughter how their day was at school and they say fine and you say what did you learn and they say math and you say what type of math. You know, don't make the interviewer pull that information out of you. Give it to them directly because after a while they're just going to give up on you. So and a lot of people, they give the one word answer, they give a quick answer and then they move on. It's like a game. But really you're telling a story. It's a conversation.
So if the interviewer asks you, tell me about your last job, and you just give them your job title. That's not quite enough. What else would what else would you feel that they my past job was? What do you tell them about your past job?
Mm-hmm. So talk about maybe what you enjoyed, how that's going to be a benefit. Sort of like on a resume. Everything you have on a resume, everything you say in an interview needs to have a benefit. You're selling yourself as a product to that
person. You're selling yourself.
Yes. So why are you saying it? And if you can't explain why you're saying it, then you shouldn't be saying it. You should be saying something else.
So you need to actually plan for the interview before the interview.
And shocking.
Expects, I know there's several standard questions, and it's always amazing to me that people really are surprised when those standard questions get asked.
Yeah.
Mary, tell us what one of the standard questions you ask in a job interview.
Oh, let's think. Well, we do want to know about former employment that the person had.
Yep. And that's a standard question.
Standard question. We actually ask folks to describe a challenge that they had in a previous job. Mm-hmm.
That's a standard question.
Yep.
So, Joe, when that question gets asked, what would you recommend? You say, well, I was challenged by the work that I did. That's not the best response. What would what would you recommend them saying then?
You know, that's similar to the question, tell me about a weakness. You know, tell me a weakness. And a lot of people stumble with that because they say I'm a perfectionist. Well, don't say that. That's what everybody says. So what we want to do with that question and pretty much every other question is, you know, wrap it up in a nice little bow. And we call it the SAR approach. It's also called the STAR sometimes, but situation, action, result. So what was the situation? What was the weakness? What was the challenge? What was the action you took to resolve it, and then what was the resolution? What was the result? Hopefully we can turn it around if we can, but that really depends on the situation.
These are the types of things you'll be doing in the final workshop on the 20th. That's correct.
We give examples of the questions, kind of the most common ones, and then strategize for how to respond and what the employer is actually asking. You know, so like reading between the lines of what they actually want to hear.
Mary, you were mentioning that the audience that's already signed up for it. Quickly describe that audience to us. Who seems to be coming at this stage?
Well, actually, we are recommending registration, but we're not requiring it. So I imagine there'll be some people coming that we don't yet know about. But I would describe the folks who are coming as being from different demographics and different life stages, folks who are looking to gain some confidence to help them proceed further in their job search. And we also have some folks who really haven't had that much experience working with basic computer software that a lot of people take for granted. You cannot write a resume without getting on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there are some folks who are interested in this series because they will have some assistance, not only in understanding how to compose a resume and think mm-hmm. about the content, but the mechanics of actually getting on a computer with somebody who's going to be guiding them along.
Formatting it as well.
Exactly.
So that it looks professional.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. The other thing that we've observed at the library is that we help adults all the time at the library who are trying to write resumes and who are trying to find reliable sites online to mm-hmm. to look for jobs.
Your reference librarians.
The reference librarians. So that's very much a part of what we do. We think that the audience is already in the library to some extent, and now what we're excited about is that we have got the experts at Iowa Works who are going to be able to do a professional lecture and do teaching to help them walk through it.
You're really going to do all this stuff for – you intend to help – be able to help people with their resume so that they have a polished professional resume, and you're going to give them comments about mm-hmm. the style, the format, the content of the resume to make it as professional as possible.
Absolutely. This is what I do pretty much every day. This is what I went back to school to do, so it's stuff that I'm passionate about.
This is a hands-on workshop.
Yes.
It's really meant to help people
mm-hmm.
secure, get better jobs or a new job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we supply all of that expert advice, kind of the insider information. I continually am talking with employers, going to Employer Council of Iowa meetings, career fairs. So I have that insider information I can share.
Any final comments that you'd like to make about what you're trying to do?
I was just going to add, I failed to mention, so the way this series is going to work is in the mornings for this lecture-based series, that's from 10 a.m. till noon. So we'll do the resumes the one day, applying for jobs the other, online the other day, and then interviewing. And then every afternoon from 1 to 3 during those three Fridays is open computer lab help with resumes.
Do people have to come to the morning session?
They don't have to. I would recommend it. They're learning the strategy ahead of time, so they'll hit the ground running in the afternoon, but you don't have to.
Do they have to come to all three sessions?
No, they do not. I would recommend it again, just getting that holistic view of everything, all these other aspects.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mary.
Something that I wanted to mention was that if this doesn't work with people's calendar in November, we have already made a commitment to offer the same series of three classes in December, and in December it will be on Tuesdays. So if somebody's listening to us and said, oh my gosh, Fridays in November are just completely, you know, out of the question, hang in there and consider coming in December, and we will be signing people up for that as well.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Radio 89.1 FM, serving Ames and Story City. I'm your host, Jim Werbel. I'm on a campaign to talk more about Ames's hidden secrets and treasures. I'm reminded of a poem I once wrote about Leonard Vinsith, a Smithsonian musician who was ignored by all of his local community, where my sister lives near Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We have many people who we should treasure more. Next up, we have one of our cultural treasures speaking. He's one of the earliest quantum chemists. Ursula Rudenberg is going to introduce him.
KHOI's fall membership drive is coming up, starting Friday, November 13th, and it'll go through November 20th. During that time, you will be asked to raise your hand as part of the KHOI family. Actually, you will be asked to raise your wallet or your checkbook or even your credit card. Actually, credit cards would be great. But this isn't only about money. This is about us. And so you are invited to a KHOI fall celebration on Sunday afternoon, November 15th at 4 p.m. in the station's community space. There will be refreshments and a very special presentation, People, Events, and the History of the Atom by Klaus Rudenberg, ISU Distinguished Professor Emeritus in Theoretical Chemistry. Yep, that's my papa. He has made this presentation at numerous scientific conferences around the world, and it has been enthusiastically received. Did you know that the Greeks already speculated about the existence of atoms? At our KHOI party on Sunday, his presentation will include fascinating images and stories of the people and technology who have made modern science possible over the last 2,000 years. He will adapt the information so that all of us will be able to understand it. I sat down with Klaus at the dining room table and asked him to give us a brief preview of his presentation. Here is what he told me.
Today, nobody is surprised if he sees or she sees in a magazine or a newspaper or the television pictures of atoms and molecules, and they're quite convinced they're real. So how did humans came to the insight that this is the way nature is put together? The first people who wrote and talked about this without involving mythology were the Greeks, and that's about 500 BC. And the great person was Aristotle, who was a superb scientist, not only scientist, had insight into nature which influenced the world for 1500 years. He was a unique person. The subject which concerned him and many others, philosophers at the time, how is it that some things in this world seem to be permanent and yet things change all the time? This question, permanence versus transience, if you want, is still with us. And it's a basic question that science has today answered in its own way. And they conceived already then, 2,500 years ago, that this was the crucial question. Well, it turns out that Aristotle had enormous insight, but on the question of atoms, he was wrong. It was the first instance that a great scientist also is sometimes wrong. The person who conceived of atoms was Democritus. But they couldn't get much farther because they didn't have the technology to make experiments. And about 1,000 years later, when Europe plunged into this enormous political turmoil after the collapse of the Roman Empire between 500 AD and 1000 AD, almost all knowledge of the antiquity was lost. It was saved in the Near East, in what's today Turkey, by the Eastern Roman Empire. And all these documents, which unfortunately are destroyed nowadays, are a witness to this civilization which preserved the knowledge of the antiquity. And interestingly, when the Near East at that time, let's know we talk about 700 AD, when the Near East was conquered by the Muslims, by the Arabs, they preserved at that time the knowledge of the West, and they were the first to pass it on to Western Europe when it recovered about 1000 after Christ. the Arabs deserve credit for preserving that at that time. Then Western Europe started the great development of solid science. First, there was this slow gestation period for 300 years where a lot of technology was involved, which is not always appreciated. For instance, the Europeans sailed to America. There was the alchemist and Leonardo da Vinci and there were many people. They revived then the knowledge of the antiquity and combined it with a new development due to new technology. Interestingly enough, Aristotle still dominated, and the idea of atoms was actually associated with being atheistic and therefore was proscribed by the church. You were really not supposed to be an atomist at the time. But the church had only so much influence in Western Europe. So then science slowly developed, and the idea of atoms was assumed by the alchemists because it was useful, although they couldn't make gold, of course, which they wanted to, many of them. And it all culminated in the between 1600 and 1700, the scientific revolution. But it really was a culmination of a process which had been going on. But it was then that all these new developments came. There were these great names, Galileo, René Descartes, Francis Bacon, Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, who started the project of modern science in very, very concrete ways. But as far as atoms are concerned, it took another 100 years until about 1800, until the chemist really, for various reasons, came to the insight of the elements and then of atoms in the modern sense. And the great person is Antoine Lavoisier in Paris and his wife, Pierrette Pauls, who worked with him. They didn't have any children. And as some of you may know, Lavoisier was executed by the political extremists of the French Revolution, and his wife fought bitterly to have his books preserved, and she was successful. But to make it all work took a lot more work, and that is what the 19th century did. There were many, many, many scientists involved. John Dalton conceived of atoms, and then how atoms were put together at molecules, that took another half century. And one person which maybe is interesting is the German Liebig, because he invented fertilization by nitrogen compound at that time in the mid-19th century. And also he made some food extracts, Liebig meat extracts. That was one of the first applications of chemistry and the knowledge of atoms and molecules. So that all culminated, one might say, in the discovery of the periodic system, that there are 92 elements at the time arranged in a systematic array, and that covered all of nature. That is really a crowning achievement of chemistry. But around 1900, great surprise, everything changed. Electrons were found, nuclei were found, X-ray were found, and now all of a sudden people got interested. The structure atoms, how they look inside, how they're made of electrons and nuclei, and how molecules are made, and how this affects the properties of matter. And this led then to a new physics, quantum mechanics. In hindsight, well, the overwhelming conclusion is that nature is much, much more complicated than one could imagine in one's wildest dreams. If anybody would have told Newton or Aristotle what we know, what nature is like, they would have shaken their heads. It took many, many different people from very, very different fields to get where we are now today. People from many, many countries and from many temperaments, as one can still see today. But they all have one thing in common. They are driven by a fascination with what I might call, in quotations, the nature of things. And I'm quoting here the title of a little book that was written around the time of Christ by a Roman philosopher who wrote about atoms, actually. Lots, of course, speculation, but quite interesting observations. For instance, one observation was he made, how come dogs can smell a person if he's so far away? He says, because of atoms. Another conclusion is that it needs a combination of imagination and of technology to make experiments, otherwise you don't get anywhere, and of solid quantitative mathematical treatment. Insight in nature has gotten increasingly complex, and that's why it took so long to really make sure this idea of atoms was correct. In fact, it was only about 100 years ago, that all scientists were really convinced that atoms were for real. And finally, I would say, I think it's very interesting how true knowledge, hard knowledge, is acquired by people. To come to all these conclusions needs the courage to entertain many, many imaginative ideas and the willingness to toss them in the waste paper basket when experiment or mathematics says, no, that's not the way. At least 90% of ideas you have about a subject which is relatively new, you have to expect are not correct. You have to give them up until you hit what is correct, or you don't. I think it's very instructive to know how one gets to hard knowledge.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and you have just been listening to my father, Klaus Rudenberg, explaining the basic concepts behind a presentation he is going to give at KHOI on Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. The presentation is called People, Events, and the History of the Atom. It is a fascinating presentation with images and stories about the people who develop basic knowledge of modern science. And after the talk, we will have refreshments and conversation, and you are invited. I promise you that he will give you an interesting answer to any question you have on the topic. If you know my dad already, I am sure you will agree. Klaus is a native of Germany, and he received his graduate degree from the University at Zurich, Switzerland, then completed his postdoctorate work at the University of Chicago, where he studied and worked with some of the founders of the field of quantum chemistry. He became professor of theoretical chemistry at Iowa State University in 1955 and retired in 1991. He continues to publish and do research through Iowa State, with the research being funded through the United States Department of Energy. I had asked him to describe what the lecture was about, and then I asked him a bit about how he did the research, which has been recognized internationally for providing a comprehensive historical narrative about science that had not been made before. I started by asking him how, as a scientist, he even got into history. And so this is what he said.
It sort of started many years ago. After I worked in this field for 40 years, I got interested. How did the people really get into that in the first place? I'm not a historian, I want to say that. I worked at least 10 years together with a colleague, Eugen Schwartz, a German professor, an old friend of mine, and he knew a lot, and I knew a lot of books. So you have to read a lot. And then about 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, we were asked to write a chapter in a book published by the American Chemical Society. Then we worked very, very carefully on it and documented it. And this helped them to make a better lecture, you know. So I slowly gathered material. There's very good information on Wikipedia. Most of the articles in that area are very responsibly written. And then you can start from there, and the real historians of science, Alan Rock in Cleveland and Newman. If you look at the individual information that all existed, I don't think we discovered anything fundamentally new. But as far as we know, nobody had really traced this particular subject, how the atomic ideas evolved over this 2,500 years. I would say most historians, like scientists, they focus on a specific field, which is time limited, and are very, very carefully studying these sources and document it. And that takes most of the effort. So that nobody seemed to have really, from a scientist point of view, really traced this whole idea of atoms. There were some books, but people in the history of science come more from the historical side, and they don't know as much science as a practicing scientist know. And so we were interested particularly in that aspect, how the actual practical, experimental, and solid hard knowledge would evolve slowly. For example, certain experimental developments, how to make steel, how to create a vacuum. So people could measure gases. The single invention made all the difference. Some of the connections were only known to a few people, we noticed. But all of it together, that was something which some people were grateful for. And I gave a lecture. I was invited in Vienna at this congress 2 years ago. The audience were mostly theoretical chemists. None of them knew too much about history. So they were really very enthused about learning all that. It's interesting for them. So they were very grateful for it. So in that sense, it was something which hadn't been done before.
If you have just joined us, you've been listening to Klaus Rudenberg speaking about the research he did on the history of humans' knowledge of atoms and molecules, a story that spans 2,000 years, starting with the ancient Greeks. Rudenberg was really the first to connect many discoveries and people who've contributed to today's scientific knowledge. He will be presenting People, Events, and the History of the Atom, presented in a way for lay people to understand at KHOI during our fall celebration at the station. And then join us for refreshments and talk afterwards. That will be on Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. at KHOI, 410 Douglas Avenue in Ames. That's Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. at KHOI, 410 Douglas Avenue in Ames. This is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm reporting for KHOI and feeling very proud of my dad. Thanks for listening. If you have just joined us, you've been listening to ISU Distinguished Professor Klaus Rudenberg speaking about the research he did on the history of humans' knowledge of atoms and molecules, a story that spans 2,000 years, starting with the ancient Greeks. Rudenberg was the first to connect the many discoveries and people who have contributed to today's knowledge of molecules and atoms. In a special KHOI presentation, he will speak about the research he conducted for the past 10 years with colorful descriptions and stories of the unique people and technology that made today's science possible. You are invited to join us at KHOI for a special presentation, People, Events, and the History of the Atom by Professor Rudenberg. This special event takes place on Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. at KHOI 410 Douglas in Ames. After the presentation, there'll be refreshments and conversation. Again, that's on Sunday, November 15th at 4 p.m. at KHOI 410 Douglas in Ames. This is Ursula Rudenberg reporting for KHOI and feeling very proud of my dad.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Radio, 89.1 FM, serving Ames and Story City. Our next guest is Leanne Harder, who's a regular guest to our show. Every month she comes to us. Welcome back, Leanne.
Thank you. Good morning.
Leanne is with the Story County, and she tells us all the news that's happening in Story County. Veterans Day is coming up, isn't it?
This week is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
We have a variety of events. First of all, I want to start by thanking all the veterans and the families that are listening for their years of service and their dedication to our nation. Story County Veterans Affairs is very pleased to host the annual Story County Market of VA Benefits. That will be this coming Friday on November 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's located at the Moose Lodge, which is north of Ames along Highway 69, where it meets 190th. So any veterans or families of veterans listening, please call Brett McLean, who is our VA Affairs Director, at 956-2626.
And what will the veterans find there?
Everything and anything a veteran could possibly need or actually may even not be aware of here that he or she may need.
Be eligible for benefits that they may be eligible to receive.
Exactly. It's an opportunity. It's just what the name entails. It's a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Brett brings in representatives from the various veterans organizations. There's some light refreshments provided as well, so you can go from almost table to table and find out the types of veteran or types of benefits for which you're eligible. It's a great opportunity.
Okay, so it's a good educational opportunity for people to find out some of the things in all ages too. Recent ones, older ones, everybody.
Yep, a veteran does not have a specific age.
Yes.
In this day and age. The other thing I do want to touch on briefly is the Home Base Iowa initiative that Story County is a part of. Governor Branstad, a couple years ago, initiated Home Base Iowa. And it's the governor's program to recognize the talent and skill set of our former military personnel and use those to continue to build a strong workforce in Iowa. We're very lucky. At the same time, it's a double-edged sword to have a very low unemployment rate
mm-hmm.
here in Story County. So the Board of Supervisors and cities in Story County recognize that this is a way to bring those talented individuals back home to Story County.
Mm. Give them a good welcome and say, we need you. Not only did you serve in harm's way, but we still need you back in Story County.
You have a wonderful pool of talent that we can benefit from so much. So you may have noticed there's Home Base Iowa signs as you enter Story County from different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for those when you cross over the county line.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Board of Supervisors for Story County have created the Welcome Home to Story County, Iowa Relocation Assistance Program. Lengthy title, but basically what it says, for those veterans and families that want to move back to Story County, the board will provide up to $2,500 to help you move back for relocation, everything from down payment assistance to rent to storage to utilities.
How do they apply for that?
That's a good question. They go on our website to storycountyiowa.gov, and under Veterans Affairs, there's a tab called Home Base Iowa. And then I think under services, there's a Home Base Iowa tab, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can contact me, and I'll give my contact information at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, thank you. Important news for our veterans.
It is. Along the same lines, one of the things that Story County as a government must ensure that if we had a natural or man-made disaster that would take out one of our buildings,
mm-hmm.
that we would need to make sure that the vital function of county government continues. So we have a project underway that's a very large project that's called the COOP COG. So COOPCOG.
Mm-hmm.
It's just continuity of government, continuity of planning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a project that Story County has really undertaken over the past couple months. And we are recognizing the resources that we would need to make sure that you, as a citizen using county services, if we had a natural disaster that took out one of our buildings or affected our way to provide services, is able to still get those services in the way that we deliver them.
Now, a lot of our listeners probably really aren't that familiar with some of the services that the county really provides. It's kind of this, we know that they cut the grass along the roadsides and things like that. What else does the county do?
Well, and obviously that's a great question, and everyone's aware of Story County Conservation.
Yes.
We have wonderful trails and parks facilities that we're continuing to build on here in Story County through conservation. But the Board of Supervisors and all the other elected officials provide so much more. We do everything from the Story County Recorder's Office, can take passport applications right there in Nevada, even including taking your picture.
Mm-hmm. They collect our taxes, too.
The Story County Treasurer's Office collects taxes, and it's not just for the county. They collect for all the cities, the school district. School districts in Story County. You go, and that's where you get your tags for your cars.
Right. Boats.
Boats. Snowmobiles. Obviously, the court system is run through the state, but Story County and the Story County Attorney's Office is a solid arm of that to help ensure that our justice system delivery is effective. The Story County Sheriff's Office is the law enforcement agency that guides our safety throughout Story County. We have emergency management.
Yes.
Through Keith Morgan and Melissa Spencer.
Keith comes to the show
regularly. Keith does, yes. And I should plug in for Alert Story County Iowa Alerts. Mm-hmm. Make sure people sign up for that. But emergency management, make sure that that we are all adequately planning, and not just government, but even as individuals planning for what happens in the event of a disaster.
So there's a lot of things that...
There's a lot.
It's probably one of those hidden things that most people don't realize what gets done.
What always kind of surprised me, I spent a number of years in planning and zoning for Story County. And
see, I didn't even know there was a planning and zoning for Story County.
Exactly. And this is going to seem rehearsed, but that was something I would hear at the counter at least once a week. Well, when did you start requiring permits? September 2nd, 1958. Is when Story County adopted the first zoning ordinance. So zoning has been in place for well over five decades in Story County.
Mm-hmm.
And all those different aspects are looking at the types of service we deliver to the citizens is what we're looking at with the COOP COG.
Okay.
So
thanks.
And another way we're making sure that we're doing timely and efficient provision of services is we're looking towards the future.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Board of Supervisors in August adopted their second strategic plan, and that's online. And I think I've talked about that already, but I just want to give everyone the opportunity to let everyone know that our capital improvements plan is now available in draft format for public comment. What the capital improvements plan is, it sets a foundation for the large investments that the Board of Supervisors want to make over the next 5 years.
Roads, buildings.
Roads, yeah, exact. Bridges, large equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We've had our elections equipment in there in the past because that's a huge investment that the county is required to make. So it's available on our website at storycountyiowa.gov. We're taking comments. There's a comment sheet you can see.
So you look on the website, there's a comment sheet. Are there going to be public hearings where they can respond to these?
I did present it already in October to the board, and we're at the phase where we're pushing it out through social media, through press releases, venues such as this, sending it out to city halls and those types of ways to get the word out. In December, I will share the public comment that we've received with the board. But they don't take action until February or March.
Okay.
There's a lot of opportunity more for public input.
So if you have the time, and please review that, go to the website that Leanne has talked about. Again, the website?
StoryCountyIowa.gov.
And review the capital improvements plan.
Yeah. The big, big project we have looking towards the future is a cornerstone to Capstone, which is the C2C project. We've had a couple of public input surveys available. We have the last one closing on November 20th. We've developed a survey specific for the Iowa State University community, just geared towards the staff, the faculty, the students at Iowa State to see what they're thinking Story County should look like over the next 20 years. And that's what the C2C project is. It's a comprehensive plan for Story County. That closes November 20th. And then we're compiling all the public input we've received thus far. And in early December, we'll have a draft available for the public to start really digesting and reacting to. We'll have chapters on land use, on transportation, on economic development, natural resources, and deliver those almost on a chapter-by-chapter basis.
So what are some of the questions on the survey that you're asking?
Can you give me some? Yeah, obviously, where are you from? That's a key one. And do you intend to stay in Story County? This is really geared for the student at Iowa State, mm-hmm. but do you intend to stay in Story County after graduation? And more open-ended, if not, why not? Mm-hmm. What are some improvements that could – I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but what are some improvements that – or what are some changes at Story County that would entice you to stay and remain? What are some challenges that Story County faces?
Why are you focusing so much on ISU?
Well, it's a demographic. We started out with a larger survey, a 10-page survey that we kind of released to the general broad public. Then we narrowed it down to youth in Story County under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
As we are going through that and looking at the responses, we really saw that the 18 to 29, 30 demographic that did include students who are a large population of Story County, not just Ames, but mm-hmm. all of Story County, was lacking. And so the suggestion from our task force with which we're working was to let's tailor a survey just for this Iowa State community.
I see.
So and our response has been minimal, and I hope that over the next week or 2 weeks we can increase our responses.
It's hard to get students to respond, especially at this time of year with exams coming up and projects due. And
it's a 10 question survey, monkey survey, though. It mm-hmm. takes just a few minutes to go online. You can view that on the C2C plan website, which is different from Story County's. It's just c2cplan.com.
Okay.
So, again, c2cplan.com. Once we get all the public input finalized and the draft plan ready for public review, that'll be out there. We'll start a series of public open houses in January and mm-hmm. February. Every growing up in Iowa, I get really concerned about the weather in January,
mm-hmm.
and then especially February when we start wrestling tournaments, state wrestling. So we are going to do a virtual open house, too.
Okay.
We'll videotape the first session and then have that going throughout online so people can attend it that way as well.
And as we highlighted some of the services, there's really a lot of services that the county does provide that often go under the radar. And it's really important for people to think more about the services because those services as well as city services affect our daily lives.
Exactly. And that's what this comprehensive plan is all about. We've done, like I said earlier, we've had zoning since 1958.
Mm-hmm.
We've done an exceptional job of land use planning, but we haven't looked at the whole picture. And that's what truly comprehensive planning accomplishes that, and it will help us continue to provide services very efficiently.
All right. What other things do you have? The holidays are coming up. Any holiday news?
Yeah. Thanksgiving Day is fast approaching. You already see commercials on TV. I guess they've been happening for the past couple weeks already.
Yes.
I just want to remind everyone that most county buildings – will be closed on Thanksgiving Day as well as the day after Thanksgiving.
The day after, too. So
we
Black Friday, everybody's out shopping.
Yeah, apparently. For county employees, we might just be recovering from this time of year. This time of year, we start budget work. I know our secondary roads crews are out trying to get the roads prepared so that when winter does approach, they're ready to go.
If there's snow removal that needs to be done on Thanksgiving, they'll be working.
They're working throughout. And also this week, most county offices are closed on Veterans Day in honor of our veterans. I say most because obviously like our Justice Center facilities, our jail and our sheriff's office, they're essential personnel that work on the holidays. And
mm-hmm.
so I appreciate their time and dedication to Story County. But then when we get to the Christmas holiday, we'll have a couple days closed as well then.
Yes, I would imagine.
But I'll share those in December.
Okay. Well, any other news, Leanne?
Just that we are really trying to build our Twitter following. And I would love to see by the end of this year that we reach that 900 followers mark. I'm setting some really tangible goals. I want to see us hit 1,000, maybe by the end of February. We're at 700, this was last week, 780 some. So I have some lofty goals to get 120 more in the next couple months. But our Twitter feed is Story County, Iowa. It's pretty simple.
And you have a Facebook page as well.
We do. We have a Facebook page. That's a little bit more tricky. You can find our Facebook a couple ways. Story County was named after Judge Joseph Story. So our Facebook page presence is actually Joseph Story. Dating back to when we first set our Facebook page up, that's when Facebook required you to actually be a person.
Okay, interesting.
So that's why we're Joseph Story. But then we also have Story County, Iowa. You can find both. And then the county attorney's office has a Facebook presence. The Story County Animal Control does a wonderful job posting pictures of animals available to be adopted on a very regular basis. County Conservation promotes their programs and is always sharing new and upcoming events on their Story County Conservation Facebook. And there's the Auditor's Office and Recorder's Office. Everyone has social media these days.
Well, thank you, Leanne. Thank you for coming back and looking forward to seeing you again next month. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, the stories, the events in Central Iowa. I've been your host, Jim Werble. We started the show with Joe Collins and Mary Logsdon talking about a series of job search and training workshops at the Ames Public Library. As you're beginning to hear more, our pledge drive starts November 13th, this Friday. We're having Ursula Rudenberg's father at the studio on November 15th at 4 p.m. to give his very well-known lecture on the history of the atom. He gave a skinny version of that talk on this show. I plan on being there for it, and I hope to see many of you there as well. Finally, Leanne Harder came back to the show to discuss some upcoming events in Story County. I hope you really enjoyed the show and learned some things. Local Talk will be rebroadcast today at noon and at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's again, khoifm.org. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your newsfeed. Local Talk was engineered today by Nadia. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other music you heard today was from Ravi Shankar and Philip Glass's CD Passages and Norse Grag from the Studio Collection. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you'd like to join the team as a reporter, we're always looking for more reporters, and it's lots of fun talking to people. Contact us, please, at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website at khoifm.org again. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. This is really important because we do have that pledge drive coming up, and you need to be able to support us so that we can be a sustainable station. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.